The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So I was told I had to do a clarification before I begin preaching. Is there anybody who does not know what an earworm is? Okay, here we go. So an earworm is the song that gets stuck in your head. Think It's a Small World. Think What Happens to You After VBS in the Summer. Or my favorite, na 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 ma na ma na 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 na. Okay. That's an earworm. Sorry. And if you want more, I can head you off in a direction that will torture you for many days to come. But all of this is to say I've had a different earworm in my head this entire Advent season, and it would not leave me alone. And I need to say something about my Christmas music collection. It is completely eclectic. It has none of the canon that you actually hear, like, on Coast. No, I have Renaissance and medieval, and because I was raised by wannabe hippies, one of my favorites is the Peter, Paul, and Mary holiday album. It is always early on the playlist. And I tend to sing along with it, as one can with Peter, Paul, and Mary. And this year, the Cherry Tree Carol got stuck in my head. And so I tried to get it out of my head. And by the way, this is a lesser known carol. Most people, you say the Cherry Tree Carol, and they're like, the what? You know, Silent Night, we got down. We Wish You a Merry Christmas, we got it. But the Cherry Tree Carol, huh? So I started, you know, what do you do when you don't know something? You go to the, you know, the web and you start looking. It's a 15th century carol. This is not some newfangled fodderall carol. It's like a legit one. And so then I talked to my music director about it, and he goes, yeah, Judy Collins does a great rendition. And I was like, well, she was a staple in my household growing up, too. And then we got into a big discussion about who does it better, Judy, the trio, you know, King's College. Apparently, Chad Mitchell Trio has it, too. I mean, like, it's a 15th century carol that apparently the folk music, the folk movement really picked up on. And so it's doing all of this to get it out of my head, but it won't leave me alone. So we're going to talk about it today. Now, if you aren't familiar with the carol, it tells a story that goes like this. Joseph and Mary are engaged, and they're traveling somewhere, I'm going to guess to Bethlehem, and they walk through a cherry orchard, as one does in Israel. And Mary says, Joseph, would you get me some cherries? In this day, it would be pickles and ice cream. Would you get me some cherries because I'm pregnant? And Joseph is like, what? And he's not so happy about this news. And in fact, in the carol, he has a bit of a heff, and he says, well, have the father of your baby get your dingity-dang cherries. So Jesus, hearing this, you can tell what kind of relationship they're going to have. Jesus tells the tree, hey, tree, would you please bow down and give my mother the cherries? And the tree does. And Joseph goes from being rightly grumpy to more of a, oh, so that's what's going on. Look, my bride is the mother of the Messiah. Who knew? And so it's not bad for a carol, right? I know it's going to get a whole bunch of hits this afternoon on YouTube. Y'all can argue on Facebook which one you like better. I'll be posting shortly. But what has stuck with me, the line of the carol that keeps coming back to me is Joseph's line. Let the father of your baby gather cherries for you. And I think that I've liked that line because it keeps Joseph real, right? We do a lot of imagining the happy, peaceful, holy family, Mary, meek and mild, Joseph along for the ride. And yet in this carol, you can see Joseph kind of going like, what? We're engaged? You're pregnant? I'm really confused. And you can see him, as we do today in the gospel, trying to figure out an escape plan, trying to discreetly and quietly get rid of Mary pregnant with someone else's baby. And then Emmanuel, God with us, jumps into the mix in the song by asking the tree to bow down to Mary, in the gospel by sending an angel to explain to Joseph what is going on. And it is in that moment of realization that Joseph's heart is changed. Joseph's heart indeed is made aware and open to not only who Mary is, but more importantly, who is this child that she is carrying? And I love in the carol in the end, Joseph, like the tree, bows down to Mary in this realization of the greatness that is within her. I think that as we walk through Advent, we often talk about another gospel, are you a Martha or are you a Mary? But I think during Advent, we often end up being Mary's or Joseph's, one not better than the other. Mary, you see, is given a clue by the angel about what's going to happen, and she says, well, let's get on with the program, puts on her shoes, goes and sees Elizabeth, sings a song about it, isn't this great? She then comes back, and then she takes off with her betrothed to Bethlehem, and the whole time carries both the joy and I'm going to say the burden of knowing that she is the bearer of the Son of God. So in our day and age, I think of Mary is the person who has all the Christmas decorations up, in fact, had them up Thanksgiving weekend, and probably had most of the shopping finished by the end of the first week of December, and everything is bought, wrapped, menus planned, Christmas cards are out. And while on the outside we see this joy and we like to dwell on it, the reality is that as Mary's, there's also a burden that we carry inside of having to get this all done the right way. And then I think some of us are Josephs, It takes us a while to really figure out what this is that is going on. Joseph, engaged to a woman, finds out she's pregnant. That's embarrassing to him. It's embarrassing to her. He's got to do something about it. He's ready to walk away. Maybe he'll find someone else. Maybe not. Who knows? But at least find someone who isn't going to get pregnant by someone else. Then he has that moment of realization, and it makes it clear to him that it's not about him. It's about the Messiah. It's about Emmanuel and God with us, because in that moment, Joseph's heart is open. So in this day and age, Joseph is the person who sees the candles get lit one more every week. But Advent hasn't been so rich. The Josephs are not so much into the decorations and the preparations, and maybe a little more practical with what's going on in life, and maybe a little bit less joy. And yet, Josephs do have their moments where they realize, like Joseph, that God is going to come in the form of a baby on December 24th, that the Messiah will arrive, and just like Joseph, that the Messiah will dwell in our homes with us. Emmanuel isn't a theory. Emmanuel, God with us, isn't an act of faith. Emmanuel, God with us, was a hard, cold fact in Joseph's life. And quite frankly, Emmanuel, God with us, is a hard, cold fact, maybe warm fact in our lives too. And I think that's why the cherry tree carol became an earworm for me. I think it's why it stuck with me this Advent. Because as we've walked through Advent as St. Cross, as a community, and as we've walked through Advent each in our own homes, on our own, or with family, or with friends, I keep wondering, what does Emmanuel look like for each of us? Where do we see Emmanuel, God with us? And in the conversations that I have with you and with friends, I wonder, where is God obvious in our life, and where is God elusive in this time of Advent? I wonder who is feeling a bit more like Joseph, unknowingly searching for a sign, for some truth, for something to make life better. Who of us is struggling with the reality that is before us? And I wonder, where are we each hoping to find Emmanuel in our own life? Where are we looking to have God break into our hearts? And when we finally see Emmanuel, when we acknowledge that presence of God with us, are we like Mary and we get to work right away on our Advent contemplation and knowing that the world is going to be a better place as soon as Jesus gets here and we prepare for that? Are we like Joseph, who's waiting for the moment? For that moment when the reality of God is revealed to us before we really feel called to get to work. And no matter which person seems more familiar to you or to me, there is one truth that binds us together. However we receive and react to the news of this season, you see, God is with us. That is the one truth. And God will show up in the manger again this year, as God does every year. God will show up in our disbelief like Joseph when our life isn't going the way we hoped. And God will be with us in our joy of Mary, knowing that there are better things coming. God is with us in our challenges and in our disappointments and in the joy and struggle of this season. For you see, Emmanuel, God with us, is different for each of us, but it is where we find it. For some, it's in the listening of a folk carol. In others, it's in the helping of someone else. Or Emmanuel may be found in the quiet of a moment, or in the hug of a child. But what we remember today is that Emmanuel, God with us, is here, waiting for us to discover him, waiting for Emmanuel to be so deeply planted in our lives that Emmanuel becomes like a perpetual earworm that never leaves us alone. An earworm that reminds us to be real like Joseph, to be real about God's presence in our life. Amen.